I press this button, and then I think we can get this show on the road. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm pretty sure I still know what to do.
I
made sure my microphone is plugged in and my headphones are plugged in, so I think I'm ready to go.
I think I'm ready to.
All right.
Welcome to Two Nerds, Maybe More, with your host, Michael Straczynski, and Martin Larsen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Two Nerds, Maybe More. My name is Michael, and with me, as usual, is Marty. Marty, how are you doing today?
Oh, not that well. I've been sick the whole week.
Oof.
Yeah.
Sick and tired of all the games you've been playing?
No, just sick and tired. And then I've been sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yep. I get it. I just realized in the show notes that you completely copied most of my stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's been a while. It's usually around this time of year that recordings go a little bit crazy, because the holidays start coming up, mm-hmm. and vacations happen and things like that. So we didn't have the last episode because I ran off to Disneyland.
Yeah, and we didn't have the one before that because I was doing something that I don't even remember right now what was.
I think you were in Germany.
No, that's like a month. No, I was actually out doing D&D with the friend group in real life. That's what I was doing. I had like three days in a row of D&D, so I was just had no time to also do a show.
Yeah, I guess on that note, we did a little one-off session that same weekend as well.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we got a group together, and we did have a newcomer, so it was pretty lightweight, just kind of like a standalone adventure, and it was a pretty good time. I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it as well. It was fun preparing it, and it was fun running it. And it seems like the newcomer had a lot of fun as well. He had never tried it before, and he has his friend group who all decided that they wanted to try out D&D. And he's going to be the DM, and he had never played it before. So I was like, hey, man, let's do a one-shot. You can come and join in and see how you run a session, just so you know. He had just like a small idea of what he's supposed to do. So he really enjoyed it, and his first session with his group went really well as well. Everybody was enjoying it, and so it seems like it all worked out. And because everybody had so much fun, we decided to do a sequel.
That's right. I know we're in the process of planning that. I apologize if you hear this loud bird right outside the door. I have the door wide open because the cats are playing outside a little bit. So you might hear the sounds of nature, which includes birds, dogs, and cars. So other than that, I really enjoyed the session. I like these little standalone things, and the nature of it was almost like we were living one of those seaside tales that you hear. Our characters had heard the seaside tale, and then suddenly they found themselves as a part of it, and kind of changing the winds of fate within that seaside tale. And I think it's very fun to do stuff like that, and I had a really good time.
Awesome. And yeah, without spoiling too much, I can tell you that the next one is a little bit different, but it is sort of like a continuation of the story, because I don't know if you remember or if anyone from the party remembers, but you all did get like a flash vision at the end,
mm-hmm.
Where the evil whoever it is said, yep, I'm coming after you. And yeah, maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe something along those lines. Maybe it's not over. Who knows?
Maybe. That's really cool. One aspect, like for those that play D&D and maybe you do like these big adventures and you're like, I don't really enjoy a one-off or something like that, is I enjoyed the idea that I didn't have to do too much with my character creation.
Mm.
Even as somebody who's created characters before, I often feel that I have a little bit of anxiety and pressure when I create a character for a brand new campaign, because I have to have, like, this background and this rich history of where I'm going and what, like, my character is doing, and while that has a special place, I do enjoy more of a, I just want to kind of pick an archetypal type character, add some flair to it, and then run with it. I did have some basic story elements to my character that I kind of left breadcrumbs within the campaign of, but it's not anything that's like down the line you find out that I'm the prince of A, B, and C or something like that. It's just little things, and yeah. I like kind of more grounded character like that, where it's like these little one-off adventures are more of like a Saturday morning cartoon of sorts, where like you tune in every week and you just kind of figure out a whole separate adventure from the one previously, and maybe there's this grand bigger thing, but it's not really like a huge, huge deal. The fate of the world is not in the balance, so I like that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the next one will be sort of like in the same vein, that, you know, it's not something big and bad and something that we continue for like a campaign that will run for the next 5 years or anything like that. I think the main aspect of it is that we want to have some fun, we want to roll some dice, and that's about it, right?
Yeah. All right, well, what do you say that we jump into some of the things that we've been watching, since it's been a while since we kind of checked in?
I just want to say I've watched a lot of stuff, because as I said, I've been sick the past week, but because it is the time of the year as it is, I picked specific things that I have been watching. So just wanted to put that out there.
Okay, cool. My first one is not one that's related to those specific things. I just kind of was looking for something short form the other day, and I realized that I had not checked out Star Wars Visions yet. And I've been wanting to check it out. For those who don't know, Star Wars Visions is on Disney Plus, and it is essentially some Japanese animators were given the reins of the Star Wars license, and we're like, hey, like, do what you will with this. It's the first time that we really get a different perspective on Star Wars from like an outside country other than like the US. So it's some of them are very different realizations of what Star Wars means to people in different regions. So I really enjoyed it. The first one has like this really cool black and white art style to it, and it's takes the role of like the main character is a force user, but they tend to have more of like a samurai style when they use their lightsaber. So it's pretty cool seeing those different things and the stances that they take, because you don't really see that in any other form of Star Wars that we have. That's really cool. There's one that's very anime. It's very kind of over the top deal, people talking in space, it's fine. That's really cool. And it's not all force users, like there's other things going on in certain episodes as well. It is definitely kind of like What If, where it leaves you wanting more, and then you're like, no, there's no continuation after this. I wanted to see Captain Britain go and kill some more things or do whatever she does versus Captain America. So that's kind of what you're in store for. I'm 4 episodes in, and I'm definitely going to continue. They're usually pretty short, about 15 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes. So if you like Star Wars and you like anime style Japanese animation, go ahead and check it out.
I do. And it has been on my to watch list. I just haven't got around to it. There's so much stuff coming out these days that I cannot keep up, Mike. I can't, simply cannot keep up.
You're not alone.
So I've been watching, because, you know, it is end of October. It's Halloween. So I've been watching spooky stuff. I've been watching The Grudge.
Nice.
You told me to watch it.
That wasn't me, Marty.
At some point, right?
No, it was a creature from the beyond that took my corporeal form. maybe sometime in the past. I think maybe I talked to you about when I watched the Grudge show on TV or something like that. I think it was Netflix. There was a series that was related to The Grudge. And I was like, hey, you should check this out as well as the movie.
Yep. So I checked out the first movie, The Grudge. And I don't really know what I expected. I think it was alright. I feel like it has a little bit of a different structure on storytelling, and I don't know if it's because it's, you know, sticking to, because this is like an Asian originally, right, before it became,
yes, it's an Asian film that eventually got released to the West. I do think that they changed some things from the original, just like they did with The Ring.
Mm.
I think that the original is slightly scarier than this one, but I still enjoyed this one.
Yeah. I did enjoy it, and I think that it would be fun to, you know, go through all the other three or four other movies, how many there are, and the series as well that you talked about. So I started with the first one. I guess that's where you're supposed to start. So I did, quite enjoyed it. But I also sort of like felt like, yeah, you can also feel and see that it's been a few years since it's been made.
Okay, so you did watch the original one, because I think there was a 2020 version.
Oh, yeah, no, the original one. Okay. I didn't watch.
Okay. So the original film is called Ju-on, and that's the Asian version. I want to say it's Japanese. I believe it's Japanese, and it was released a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it spun, obviously, a whole bunch of other movies, and then it was brought to the West as the Grudge. So I definitely recommend checking out Ju-on Origins on Netflix. I think it does slightly, it stands up better now than the original movies do. So if you kind of like this, I think Ju-on kind of goes through the origins of the entire thing.
Yeah. I'm definitely, you know, interested in, I think it is like an interesting world that they've seen the first entry into it. So I'm not scared away. I want to watch the other ones.
All right. Along the lines of horror and spooky things, I reached out to you pretty last minute. I think it was like Thursday or something, which would have been Friday your time already.
Yeah.
And I was kind of going through Netflix and just thinking of like, hey, I want to watch something spooky, something scary. So I didn't know what to expect from this film, but I was like, you know what? Let me check out Fear Street Part 1. It's kind of been on Netflix for I think around a year or so now.
Is it that old? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was from 2020 that it came out, and I really wanted to check it out, and then it kind of got lost in the mix of everything. And then when I caught it, I was like, is this like a movie version of something like Stranger Things, right? Where like it kind of seeps you into nostalgia and all that stuff. So I checked it out, and I have to say that for the most part, I liked everything about this movie.
I think that's a good way to say it.
it's a very enjoyable film. It's set in 1994, obviously, like it's in the title, and it's one part of a three-part series. And it's definitely leaning into the tropes of 90s horror movies, specifically things like Scream.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely fits that realm. It's a slasher film, but it also throws in some paranormal type situations with like witchcraft and things like that. I don't want to delve too deep into it because I think it plays more of a role in the other films as well. And I'm looking forward to kind of finding out what's going on, especially since in the beginning of the film, like the kills are not really all there. You're like all the main cast is kind of like just, they're succeeding, they're doing what they're doing, and no one's really getting off, and things really start to pick up in the last half of the movie, I feel.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the basic premise of it. I do wish that maybe there was more of a 90s element thrown in there. Like, when you watch Stranger Things, you're hit with 80s nostalgia all over the place, left and right. Like, you're being bombarded with it.
Yeah.
But in this one, it was more of like, yeah, it takes place in the 90s, but you're not seeing, like, all the 90s references. There are a few here and there, but it's not, like, smacking in the face. And I wish maybe there were a little bit more there.
Yeah. If we can go in a little bit into spoiler territory. Just like a foot or two into spoiler territory. I did feel like though that the writing was a little bit bad. I think the way that they get out of the situation lacks a lot of explanation why that works. and oh, why, okay. And then why it continues afterwards. You know, it doesn't really make super lot of sense that, oh, it worked, but it sort of didn't, you know?
So I'll do a little bit of another spoiler warning here, and I'm actually going to tie it into the D&D campaign.
Okay.
In a way that, at least for me, the ending that the characters made happen, it worked to get rid of the initial portion of it, but then it's more of like that main antagonist is still around, it still exists, and it's like, no. Like, this is not what I intended, and you may have messed up one portion of it, but I am the one that dictates when this ends, just like the witch in the D&D campaign was like, okay, you took this thing from me, but that's not what I had planned, and I am stronger than you, and no, it's not gonna vibe, and I'm gonna take matters into my own hands now.
Yeah. Maybe if you look at it like that, then it makes a little bit more sense. It was just when I was sitting there watching it, I was just like, this doesn't really make super much sense, does it? But I mean, I guess if you put it like that, sure, I'll buy it. I'll allow it.
Yeah, see, that's what I do. For me, it's basic, right? Like, most horror films, you can't really throw too much at it. Because if you start to really analyze things, it starts to break down in a lot of it. Yeah, so I just try to suspend disbelief.
I feel like you can still make a set of rules and follow them and make a good horror movie in that, you know. That
no, regard. Throw the rules out the book.
So, yeah. But no,
yeah, Fear Street Part 1, I recommend people check
that being said, I did enjoy it, and I do want to finish the two other... There's three in total, right, I think?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I do want to watch the two others as well, so it's not like I just hated it or anything. I actually absolutely enjoyed most of... As you said, most of it was very much enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it has some character tropes in there, and there's little things here and there that maybe throw it off from the beaten path, but... Most of it is fairly predictable, like a lot of horror movies. There's nothing that you really haven't seen before.
No.
But, I mean, it's standard stuff, it's decent, and the fact that it was straight to Netflix is... It kind of gives it a bit more of a pass, I think, because it doesn't feel like this grand production that I went to the movie theater. If I saw this in the theater, I'd probably be a bit more harsh on it.
Yeah.
But because I caught it on Netflix, I'm like, hey, like, this is a pretty decent surprise.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Alright, well, let's jump into some game stuff. I have this next game on here specifically because it killed my Xbox controller. I was playing... I messaged Tom, our friend that does 3 Extra Lives podcast. Go check him out. I messaged him the other day and I was like, hey man, do you want to play anything? Like, what's going on? And he was like, sure. Do you want to play some golf? And I was like, okay, you mean like golf with friends, right? Like the mini golf. And he's like, no, let's try out a PGA Tour 2K1. I am not a golf guy. I have never held a club. I have never swung a club. To me, it's a sport that is way too expensive to be a part of. And it's always been associated with money for me. And I've never had money to be a part of it. So I've only, even in the games, I think I had one Tiger Woods game and Mario Golf. Mario Golf was always fun, accessible, and basic. So I was like, okay, let's try this one out. And I jumped in, and I was playing a few rounds with Tom. His character looked almost exactly like him. My character looked like he was named, like, Chad Huntington or something. And he looked like a Chad. it was fairly basic, pasty white dude on the golf course. But... The gameplay was pretty fun. It was a good time. It was nice and relaxing. We were just hanging out. And then midway through, my Xbox controller disconnects from my PC and does not want to work again until yesterday.
Okay.
I had to download the Xbox accessories app on my PC to get my controller to repair to my PC. I don't know what happened, but it completely, like... The game destroyed my controller halfway through. Tom ended up winning specifically because of that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. You were in the lead, right? You were so much in the lead before.
No, but I was making the comeback of a lifetime.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a fun little diversion. We'll probably jump in there every now and then just to kind of like... The sports games can be fun. You know, I enjoy sports games if you consider golf a sport. I'm sorry, golf players. But yeah, PGA Tour 2K1. It was fun. Nice little fun thing to play with a friend.
Nice. It's been a while since I've played a golf game. Probably when I was 12.
Alright, that's it for me in golf.
Okay, fair enough. I've been jumping into a game that I didn't think I would be jumping into, but... it's mainly been because I've been sick, so I needed something I could play on my iPad and have fun with. And I was like, oh, I actually have a Hearthstone on here. Let's see what's new with that. Actually, that's not how it started. It started with me logging in because I wanted to do the tutorial of the new Mercenaries game mode so I could get the mount for World of Warcraft. And then I got sick, not because I played the game.
Hearthstone got me sick.
But I got sick and then I started playing, lying in bed with my iPad and just continue playing Hearthstone. And actually the new game mode, Mercenaries, I don't know if you've tried it yet, Mike, but I actually quite really, really enjoyed it. You don't have to play against other players, so I can be as stupid as I want to, and that's fine. I just really, really enjoyed it, and it made me actually jump in and play some of the other game modes, because when you've been away from the game for, you know, I don't know, probably 2 years or something like I did, there's a lot of stuff in there all of a sudden, a lot of solo player stuff as well, like small stories with all the heroes and things like that. So all of a sudden I was like, oh my god, I have so much content and so much fun content that it's not just playing, you know, the ladder, which I'm horrible at. So I all of a sudden had a really, really good time with Hearthstone, and I'm still logging in every day at the moment. So I don't know what happened. I guess I'm playing Hearthstone again.
Nice. I logged in as well because of the WoW mount, and I found myself playing Mercenaries quite a bit. Now, I didn't return to it because I did it, I think, right before my Disneyland trip. That's when I jumped in. But I had a lot of fun with the Mercenaries mode, and I did a little bit more than I was supposed to do just for the mount. And like you said, I noticed a bunch of things in there as well that I'm like, what is this? And I haven't been away as long as you have, because I tune in every 6 months or so, pretty much, just to kind of dabble my feet back in whenever there's an update or something, just to be like, what's going on now?
Yeah.
But I still felt like there was a lot of stuff that I hadn't seen. There's a lot of new cards that I hadn't seen. I think there's like a new mechanic that I hadn't seen. So I had a pretty good time as well. And I didn't touch the ladder or any PvP aspect of it as well. So
yeah, the only downside about the game at the moment, I think, is if you actually want to play, you know, Hearthstone, the main game, how it's supposed to be played. Because I don't have any of the previous expansions that is in the current pool of cards. So not only am I behind, I'm you know, horribly behind if I want to try and play against other people. And I have a friend who keeps asking me, who loves Hearthstone, who's like, hey, do you want to battle? Do you want to, you know, play against each other? And I was like, no, I don't, because I have none of the expansions. And I know you've been playing all of them, and I know that you're net decking, and I know that you, you know, have probably log in every day and do the dailies. And so no, I have no interest at all. I have zero interest in actually battle against you.
Well, I wonder if there's like stock decks that you can use. Because I know that Tom invited me to play some Magic the Gathering against him, the online version. And I don't really have decks on that. So I was like, I don't know. But the starter decks that they give you, we could both just use those. So we both used those. By the way, he cheated and tried to use some more advanced ones on me without me knowing. I just had the basic one style deck while he was using ones with two different styles and trying to mix and match stuff. But it was very seamless, and it was fun that like we both could just jump in there with these stock decks and still have a good time. So maybe that could be a thing where like maybe it would bring your friend down a notch because they're used to playing all these net decks, and then you might stand a chance because they're not used to playing with the synergies that are at the basic level.
Maybe. I mean, I did just because, you know, I see dailies and then I have to do them. So I did actually jump into some normal Hearthstone and the thing I played up, was it a Hunter? And yeah, I can play the core deck because I have all the core cards, and there was like a pre-made core deck. But it was so freaking slow that I just simply gave up on it. I just did my dailies, and then I was out of there. But then I actually did manage to make myself a small little mage deck, made it on my own. And at the moment, I haven't dared touching it since. I'm sitting on a 6-game win streak with it. So maybe you actually do have a chance with, you know, just the you know, the normal core stuff, and if you mix it up a little bit and make some good synergies, but don't tell my friend, because yeah, I don't want to.
All right, don't worry, I won't. I guess the last thing that I've been playing is lots and lots of Dead by Daylight. There's the All Hallows Grove event going on, I think. It's a Halloween event, and it has like skins and things like that for certain characters. And they add in like Halloween themed events, so it's like a Halloween flashlight and a Halloween repair kit and all this other stuff. I just really enjoyed the game right now. I'm having a great time with it. They released a new character as well, where she has like witch outfits and stuff. Like, she's pretty fun to play. So I've just been having a lot of fun in Dead by Daylight, doing my daily rituals, going ahead and just like trying to level up my characters, because I'm trying to get Nancy and Steve up to their max level, and I just need to get Steve up to 50 this last time, because I prestiged all 2 times already, I think it is. So once I hit 50, I'll have him at max. So I'm just having a really good time, and I've been jumping in there pretty much daily for about an hour or so, and hitting it hard, really enjoying it. Dead by Daylight, definitely play it.
Awesome. I've been playing small game. Almost new. World of Warcraft. Been playing that a lot. I got into a guild lately, and we actually been raiding, and just I'm actually just enjoying the game again.
Nice.
That being said, I'm also, again, you know, as it slowly happens, that I reach that point where, you know, there's not a lot of different stuff I can actually do to progress my character. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I need to do Mythic Plus and I need to do raids. And once that's done, you know, then, you know, you can do that in an evening, and then technically, and then, you know, then I don't really have too much other stuff to do. So I actually jumped back into my little shaman and really enjoyed it, and actually started missing playing shaman a little bit more. So I'm not just playing one, but I guess I'm playing 2 characters now.
Nice. I don't know what you're talking about, okay? Because I don't do any of that stuff except for raiding. I log in once a week, and my character's fine. I'm still able to contribute. I'm still high up there on the heels.
I think that's it. You log in once a week. I log in a little bit more.
Sounds like a personal choice. we're actually on the final boss heroic. We're on Sylvanas. We just got there on Wednesday, so we downed KT last week, and as well as Fatescribe. I think we downed Fatescribe in like the second pool. Second or third pool, which we were very nervous about because of all the mechanics there. But we got it. Like, and we're ready for Sylvanas. We just need to tighten it up, you know, get used to the mechanics. But getting to phase 2 a few times in one night within an hour, that's not too bad, considering that we hadn't been there for a while. So, yeah, log in once a week. Try to use the first half of the raid to remember what my buttons do, because I'm still playing SWTOR, and right. And my characters there are built a little bit different than these ones, so trying to remap my fingers to the abilities, but once it clicks, we're doing well.
Nice. We just got a new boss down. We got the Soul Render down.
Nice.
We have the other 4 first bosses on farm, so Soul Render has been a little bit of a pain in the ass. But we got him down now, and now we're on Painsmith, which seems like pretty much like normal with a few small differences. So
yeah.
So we should, that bar should go down maybe next time we're raiding, I guess.
Nice.
So yeah, so means we can get a little bit of a progress going again. So yeah, but no, really, just, you know, I don't mind taking it slow. I'm just enjoying being there, and the way the guild is set up means that sometimes I'm DPSing and other times I'm healing, and I'm just enjoying, you know, the variation, and that I can do a little bit of both, and yeah, it's cool.
Nice.
Enjoying it.
All right. Let's move on to our game of, I was going to say the week, but I guess this will be like the game of this episode.
The game of
this episode. So after we went off the air last time, I was trying to figure out a game to play. And since it was the Halloween month, I decided, why not go with The Evil Within, which is on Xbox Game Pass, because we are choosing games that are on the Game Pass.
Yes.
Now, it's a game that I've wanted to check out for a while. It's been on the 360, it came out in the 360 PS3 days. So it is a bit older at this point, and I never really knew what the game was trying to be. I was like, is it third person? Is it horror? So I delved in, and I have quite a bit of both positive and negative going in here. Like, it's, I'll just start with the positives, okay? Things that I like.
The thing is that I saw your comments, and I was like, I might as well just copy-paste, because I feel the exact same way. So, yep. Just take it away.
Yeah,
speak for both of us.
I think that the game does an excellent job building atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially from the beginning, like, the grit and the darkness of it is there. And then it continues persistently throughout. The environments are pretty well done, especially, like, considering that the game came out in the 360 era. There's a lot of blood, there's a lot of guts, it's gore, like, it's very steeped in all that stuff. There's a lot of disgusting things that are going on. You have open wounds and you're being thrown into, like, blood tanks and things like that. It's really cool atmosphere, and the environments are amazing. And then, of course, I like the style of it. And when I say that, I mean, like, it's, your main character is, like a gritty, cop style character. And I like the style of that atmosphere, you know, like, almost like those old noir films of old.
Mm-hmm.
I like that type of stuff, and I like the way that it's thrown in here. And that's pretty much where the things that I like kind of hit the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get you. I think controls is a little bit weird and off about this. It's just, I have to admit that I haven't tried it with a controller. Sometimes, you know, things are just better one way or the other. But I played with mouse and keyboard, and I don't feel like it worked optimally. The gameplay itself is technically something I should like, because, you know, it is a little bit stealthy a lot of the time. But I just feel like it's a little, it's too slow for my likings. I understand why they did it, because, you know, it's a horror game, and you need to get that feeling that, you know, it is scary to move around. But all a few times, quite often actually, I feel like I'm hiding. I feel like I should be hiding where I'm sitting, and then they just see me through whatever, and I'm like, but why? The game told me this is how I'm supposed to play the game, and now I'm getting caught anyway, and it happens over and over. And so I feel like I just had more frustrations with the game than actually, you know, good times with it. So I didn't get too far into the game before I was like, yeah, nope, I think I'll just, you know, I think that's it for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm right there with you. Where I feel like it leads you in the beginning of the game towards, like, hey, this is more of a stealthy style game, but it lacks the proper stealth elements to really facilitate those stealth aspects.
Especially when you then have played Dishonored, which is also, you know, a first person game where the stealth that works really, really well.
Yeah. So the game works better with controller. Okay. I will say that. But it still doesn't feel great. And the reason why I know this is because I tried both. I used controller and I tried mouse and keyboard, and it just feels like there's like a delay almost with like the mouse and keyboard. Like when you're moving the camera, it doesn't feel very good to move it around. I feel like the game is trying to find a balance between like a stealth third person horror game, but it misses the mark on all three almost. The horror elements are there, but there's so much frustration in the middle there that it kind of takes you out of the moment a lot of times. Unfortunately, it's kind of one of those just like average games. And I think I'm just going to jump kind of straight to my conclusion here.
Yep.
In that when you look at this era of gaming, like if you're looking for a horror stealth style game, there are others that do it better, and the one that comes to mind immediately is The Last of Us.
Oh, so good.
Like, if you put this next to The Last of Us, like, The Last of Us just kind of beats it in every aspect of what it's trying to do.
Yep.
Maybe The Last of Us is not as horror-based, but it definitely has more moments of, like, realistic horror that you kind of fall into, and you're like, I would rather play The Last of Us. This game has a lot of enjoyment out there, like the atmosphere, like I said, the story. I didn't finish the game because I just didn't want to. And I was interested in the story, but not enough to really push through the gameplay elements, especially some of those boss encounters where it can be obfuscated on what you're supposed to be doing. I didn't know like how to take down the boss, and there's a lot of moments where it's just like, hey, if the boss gets within a certain radius of you, then they grab you and you're dead.
Yeah.
So if you haven't figured out the pattern yet, then it's starting from square one and trying to reevaluate and do all those things. It has like kind of Resident Evil syndrome for me in that aspect of it. So that could have been done better. But like I said, because of the way that it's built itself, there are better options out there.
Yeah, I think my conclusion is very similar. It's not, this game is not for me, at least not the first one. It has a lot, as I said, it has a lot of the gameplay mechanics and things that I should on paper like, but it just seems like they missed the mark a little bit on this one. But I have to say that there's a sequel, right? And
yeah,
I am.
It's actually, also on Game Pass, I think.
Yeah. And I'm actually curious enough about the game that, you know, if they cleaned up some of those things, maybe the sequel is actually pretty good.
That could be something worth checking out. Definitely, like, we've seen games where maybe some things are a little bit rough around the edges, and then the sequel, like, addresses that and brings it up a notch. Like, there's enough here that I would be interested in checking out the sequel without even finishing this one. And just kind of, like, if it picks up the story, maybe I have to just do a little bit of research on, maybe I'll watch, like, someone else play through the game and just, like, watch them go through it so I could get the story beats and then check out the second one to see if those gameplay elements have improved a bit.
Yep, I agree.
All right, I see that you have a next time already on there.
Did
we want to make that announcement or
sure.
Just kind of wait?
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll let you throw it out there since you put it there, because I have no idea what it is.
Okay. Do you know a small franchise called XCOM?
Yes.
All right.
I've heard of it.
One of the original developers on the original XCOM games, he made his own company and made his own XCOM game, and it's called Phoenix Point. Phoenix Point is in the style of XCOM, where you have your soldiers or whatever that you gear up, and then you go into battle with them, and it's a turn-based action.
Alright.
So, that's what it is, and I have it installed already. I've had it installed for a while, and I just haven't pulled the trigger yet. And I was like, why not be like, now I have to. Now I just have to play it.
All right. I enjoy the XCOM games as well, but I have never actually finished one. I usually like get to a point where it starts to really kick my butt, and I'm just like, you know what? Don't want to deal with this right now. And I am the type of gamer where I don't like leaving a game for a long time and then coming back to it right where I left off, because I feel like there's been too much time left, so I must start it over, and then I get stuck again, and I'm like, ah, and I just, it's a cycle that just keeps repeating. So, I am looking at it right now so that I can download it and get ready.
Alright, so it is a 37-hour game, roughly, on how long to beat. So
okay, so I can't wait until the day before to play the game.
Not if you want to try and finish it.
Okay. Alright, good to know, good to know. So that will be the game that we will talk about next time we have an episode.
Yes.
I do not want to say when that episode will be in case anything pops up.
things,
but hopefully it won't be a month
at
this
the
time.
Moment.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be a month, but if it is, we'll see you then, okay? No big deal. Like, we'll still be around, don't worry. Do you have anything else that you kind of want to bring up right now, or are you ready to get out of here?
I'm ready.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by. If you are playing any horror games or anything like that, let us know. If you've played any of the games that we talked about today or watched any of the shows and just want some people to chat about, feel free to reach out. You can do so by emailing the show at twonerdsmaybemore@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, which we don't use that much, but it's still there. If you message us, we'll see it at twonerdsmaybemore. Or you can check out the website, twonerdsmaybemore.com, which has this episode as well as all of our previous episodes and a little bit more there. If there's anything else, let us know. Reach out. Other than that, that's all we got for you. Okay? Thank you for stopping by. We appreciate you. And until next time, we'll see you. Bye.
Bye.